Welcome to the Daily VFN Radio Program, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
I'm Greg Lancaster. Joining me on today's program is Pat Hamilton.
Hello, hello.
And John Ramos.
Hello.
We are trying to resolve all the world's problems right here. We want to give a big shout out to all of our Christian television network audience around the nation and around the world, and our radio audience, konnichiwa, all the way to Japan,
right.
And tada from the Middle East, and I can't come up anymore. Can you?
No.
No. All right. We are just having a great, we're going to have a great conversation today. Continue to talk about, you know, Israel and what's taking place. It's now's the time to talk, to understand, to act. You know, we talk about first, we want to be able to get educated about what's happening. Then we want to be able to take God's word, the light of God's word, and shine it on our education. What do we learn? What does God say about it? The third thing we always want to do is inspire you, understanding, okay, now we know it wasn't to intimidate us, it wasn't to cause us to go into some cave somewhere, but to inspire us, hey, God's empowered us to respond to this. And this is a shocker. And the last thing is to activate you. To activate you in your marriage, your family, your relationship, your workplace, your neighborhood, your community, and your nation to be the light of the world, what God's called you to be. And that's one of our driving forces. So we're like news gatherers nowadays, where we just want to gather more news and we brag about what we know versus saying, okay, well, what do I do with what I know? It's not enough to know something. What we need to is, what are we going to do with the news that we know? And it's just like we're news junkies. Mm. They thought Ted Turner had lost his mind, that 24-hour news cycle, this will never work. It'll never work. And it's like, is there anything else but news?
All right.
And the question is, that was a brilliant, brilliant strategy for the adversary, is to overwhelm you with information that all of a sudden the stuff that really matters doesn't stand out anymore. And you just kind of like, okay, I'm just going to shut it all down. Mm-hmm. And if you do that, that's when you end up walking down the street to the ghetto, to the trains, to the camps, to the showers, to mass graves. And sad to say, I mean, that's how it happens. It's always how it's happened. And if you haven't interviewed somebody who over in the Middle East, their words and their thoughts in the education system about how they're educating their kids about Israel, you'll be really surprised at how much hate there is in the earth. And it doesn't matter. We're going to be having a moment today where talking about dividing the land of Jerusalem, and they're wanting to have a Palestinian capital on the east side of Jerusalem. And the guy says, you have to understand, when you think about all this, don't think about facts.
Mm.
Don't think about the facts at all. You need to think about perception, how people perceive, because these guys, they've been taught from a young age, this is what they perceive to be real, which is very, very important. But before we go to that, we want to continue our conversation about understanding, according to a recent book written called Amateur, speaking about Valerie Jarrett, one of the chief advisors of our president, that she's like the de facto president, is what he says. Mm. And this is kind of like where God was revealing to us about, you know, WW3, World War III, or Woodrow Wilson's Wife 3, in regards to, hey, you know, this is the president that Woodrow Wilson. They said that truly his wife was his second wife that was selected for him while he was in office, who was amazingly. Anyway, they said that she was really, according to the author that wrote the book, Wilson, that just came out, that she was the first female president of the United States. They said this in a positive way. And the whole thing is, America, it's who you elect is supposed to be the president.
Mm.
And if you want somebody different, if you want Valerie Jarrett, for example, to be president, vote for her. If you want President Barack Obama to be president, vote for him. If you want whoever you want to be president, you know, vote for them. Then expect them to be president.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
But and the book is entitled that we had earlier, and I wouldn't say this, but based on what they said at the JFK Library prior to selecting who they were going to want to have a transformational presidency, it was stated that the last on the list of being selected under Hillary Clinton under the perfect hair dude.
Jonathan Edwards.
Jonathan Edwards was president, well, then Senator Barack Obama, because he was not this extremist. He was not, he was more the middle of the line.
More moderate.
And that's kind of where America really is, kind of moderate. And so, my goodness, you know, this is a huge selection process, because, you know, our president's pastor said, you have to understand that he was selected before he was elected. We hear Valerie Jarrett say herself, and you can see this on Olivia Fentorch, that I went specifically to recruit Michelle. Secondly came Brock, and he listened to his wife and he listened to me, and I like that. And now they spend, you have the president, Michelle, and Valerie, and the girls in the White House most of the time hanging out, which is like, who's listening to who? What's happening here in the context of that? And so then you say, well, Jesus says, you know what's happening by their fruit. And we're saying this because if the head of our nation is seduced, if the power is not really, if it's like Ahab and Jezebel, for example, Ahab was actually the king that God expected to lead, but he didn't have it. He gave his authority over to Jezebel because she had a ulterior motive and she just wanted to run it. And he wanted some things done that he couldn't do. And he tried it and it failed and he got depressed. And so she comes to him, Jezebel comes to him and says, these are legitimate people. This is not what people, it's not religious stuff. And so Jezebel comes to King Ahab and says, give me your ring, I'll do this for you. And so she's able to go cut this treaty with the Ayatollah. No, she's able to cut this treaty with Naboth. I mean, she has a whole scheme planned out how that she was going to get the king the property he wanted. By the way, just to let you know how the story ends, that despite people seducing Ahab's authority, and they're really the culprits in doing this thing, that's not how God sees it. God sees it. He's going to hold the true authority accountable. So you can blame your wife all you want to, and you can blame your kids all you want to, and you can blame your flock and your board all you want to, and you can blame the people all you want to, and you can blame your cabinet all you want to. But this is what happened was, yeah, God dealt with Jezebel. But with Ahab, God had an arrow go in the air, just shot in the air out of the middle of nowhere. And as Ahab was hiding out, the king, the true authority, was hiding out, thinking that nobody could see him. It just happened to land on him and kill and caused him to begin to bleed profusely during the war. So they took his carriage over to a particular property. So he sat there in this carriage and he bled out. He bled out from this wound. The king bled out in this wound. And guess where he bled out? He bled out over this bad treaty. He bled out over Naboth's property, over what he thought he got through Jezebel's scheming. Understand this. Everybody understand this. God's going to hold you accountable. If you're the mama, if you're the daddy, you're the husband, you know, if you, no matter what people are doing and you feel like they're accomplishing things for you, this is what God said about Ahab. I regretted the day. No, this is what he said about, this is what he said about Ahab. He said that, you let those around you lead you astray. You let your wife lead you astray. And what he said to Solomon, the wisest man on the face of the earth outside of Jesus, he said, you let those around you lead you astray. What he said to Adam, he said, you let those around you lead you astray. I'm not naming names or genders, but that's, you know, that's what he's saying. And so the thing about it is, if you are the man or the woman that God's chose to lead, then you can't blame those around you for leading you astray. He's going to hold you accountable. And there's nobody more powerful, seemingly, and talented than those who will be used to lead you astray. That's the very magic that they have. It's like, I can work this thing out. I was born in Iran. Me and the Ayatollah, we had cappuccino together, you know? and I'm not saying that's happening. I'm just saying, I mean, you think about it, when you're fighting for something, you're just like, oh, I just want so bad for that to happen. If you could just work this one, if you could just get me Naboth's property, because I can actually grow a garden there. And what they were doing, this is what they were doing. This is why this is important. is because they were taking the inheritance. They were taking Naboth, the fruitful one's inheritance. And right now what's happening in the Middle East with this, and the reason why we're talking about it, is because our president and all those around him that are leading him, or he's leading them, or being led astray, or being led rightly, whatever, they're all trying to take Naboth's property. They're trying to take the land. They're trying to give up the land. Mm-hmm. And it's not well. You got to find out whose key is this? You can throw a whole bunch of keys on the floor. It's like, okay, this is the president's key. This is the Senate's key. This is the congressman's key. These are the Americans' key. And start giving everybody's keys back. And then when you start operating your authority, which God's going to hold you accountable for anyway, things tend to work out. And so the question is, well, you know them by your fruit. You can actually go back and look at Ahab's wife, and you could say, okay, this is what happened. He was down. He was depressed. He tried to work out a treaty, some sort of agreement with Naboth. It didn't work. He felt he was defeated. And this is the next evidence. She went and started counseling with whose wife wouldn't do that. Mm. But then when she came out, she said, listen, I can do this thing. I can do this thing. Give me your ring, which means give me your authority, because that's how you sign your name. And she went out there and began to write letters in his name and gathered a whole bunch of people together around a table in Geneva. I mean, a table in the community. Mm. And they brought Naboth in. And they sat Naboth, which was a Jew who had an inheritance, his father's inheritance, and they sat him at the table, and they put two scoundrels. This is, I'm quoting what the scripture says. They put two scoundrels on both sides of him, and they had this all strategized out and planned. You would probably hear something like this. Don't listen to any Israelis, and don't listen to any of the people who are normally our allies. I mean, you'd probably hear something like that, wouldn't you?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And because they were setting up Naboth to take his property. And, of course, they did. But that's the property that God's selected authority bled out on. His blood poured out over Naboth's property, the things that he took. And let me tell you something right now. If you divide the land of Israel, if you try to take Naboth's property, if you try to, I mean, you say all this stuff, but understand American blood will be on the soil. It will cost us. There will be a third war. They're not going to give it up. God's not going to let it go, but it's going to cost us. It says all the nations unite, gather against Jerusalem. Actually, not against. It's not the Armageddon, Megiddo, and all this kind of stuff. It's actually against Jerusalem. The argument's over Jerusalem, which is the city of peace. Mm-hmm. And so what's the fruit then? That would be Jezebel's fruit in the context of it, the queen and the king. And she was actually, had the great ability to, didn't matter who it was, she had powers that she could immediately start trying to seduce authority. And when Jehu was coming to remove her from the place of authority, I mean, the woman was brushing her hair and putting lipstick on. Mm. And a few moments later, she's going to be thrown out the window from eunuchs. Mm-hmm. I mean, she had such a great ability to seduce folks. I don't know where we are in the time. That she had such a great ability to seduce folks that the people around her, they had to make of them eunuchs so that they couldn't. That's how powerful, seductive she was. I mean, they had to cut their stuff off just so they wouldn't be seduced by her.
Wow.
And so she was putting lipstick on when Jehu was coming, a man that God called to remove her from her and all of her places. Her sons in the places of authority there. And when she got there, she was so seductive that even Jehu didn't get close to her. He just stood on the ground and said, throw her out. Mm. And so her eunuchs threw her out the window. She landed. The horses trampled her in the ground. And the only thing that left after the dogs ate every part of her was her hands and her feet, right? Bones. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so that's what God thinks about seduced authority. You can say what you want to, but the second Revelation chapter 2 talks about those who call themselves a prophet. And we'll talk more about this in a moment.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
I was kind of demanding with my kids that they would do their homework at the kitchen table in a certain way.
This is John Fuller with Focus on the Family Minute. And Jill Savage says that as her five children got older, she solved the nightly homework battle by noticing their preferences.
You have to let them be them. And some of my kids do better doing homework on their bed. Some do better doing it in the island in the kitchen while I'm making dinner. Every kid is different, and it's not a one-size-fits-all. It's important that they're doing it, but if they're getting it accomplished, let's not argue over the ridiculous. And I think sometimes as parents, we make mountains out of molehills.
As your children get older, find some ways to let them make their own choices so they can more easily move into adulthood. You'll hear more trusted advice on raising teens and letting them go at focusonthefamily.com/parenting.
Wow, at BFN Radio, we are looking for greater ways for you to be able to connect anywhere you go. We know that you can listen to VFN Radio on the go through the app, but now we also have the podcast. It's a great way for you to be able to automatically get all the segments totally downloaded to your digital device no matter where you're at. You can go to VFNTV.com and click podcast, and you'll configure it and set it up so that no matter where you're at, you automatically have all of the highlights automatically downloaded on your digital device. VFNTV.com. Click podcasts. You know, Pat, the great thing about VFN Radio is that you can take it on the go with you. You can do that now with the VFN Radio app. No matter where you're at, you can continue to enjoy VFN Radio on the go. You can search for prophetic words, wisdom moments, and it's right there available. All you have to do is go to your search in your Google Play or your iPhone App Store. Isn't that amazing?
Yeah, it's totally amazing.
Total download, free, doesn't cost you anything. Get the app today. Go to Android or iPhone, Google Play or iPhone app, and search VFN TV and download. Free, doesn't cost you a thing, and take VFN Radio on the go.
You asked them students, they got healed. Yeah, they got healed. God healed them. Yeah, God been praying. And I told my boss, I said, I don't regret none of it. I say, this is who I am. I ain't going back down for who I am. They think I'm a compromise. I will not compromise. I'm all about God, brother. I ain't compromising one bit. Your money can't get me. Get the job don't make much anyway. Yeah, I prayed for her. Yeah, and I pray for the next one, too. Yeah, I told him. I said, I don't regret none of it.
You're listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
I'm Greg Lancaster. Joining me is Pat and John. We're talking about exploring what spiritual principality, what spiritually is locking down on America, and it has to do with authority. Where is the authority? Why is the authority seen to be watered down? Why does it seem to be wishy-washy? Maybe the authority seduced. Maybe it is like a Jezebel spirit versus Ahab spirit, and this is not gender, this is a spirit. And so we're going to talk about the fruit.
Yeah.
So what we talked about, the actual fruit, biblical fruit that we talked about, what happened to that. What is the fruit in regards to what's being said about the de facto president, Valerie Jarrett?
Well, there's an article by the National Review. It's called the Jarrett File, and it consists of multiple sources who have written extensively about her influence in the White House. And one of the things that they say is that memos in the White House are littered, as this article says, with what VG thinks.
VG thinks,
which is Valerie Jarrett.
Valerie Jarrett.
And basically that you see a lot of these policies that are happening and decisions that the president's making, there's huge fallout for it. And she's credited by many of these sources for different things. For instance, the Olympics. Remember when they were trying to get the Olympics in Denmark, I believe Copenhagen, to come to Chicago? Well,
yeah.
Allegedly, she was behind influencing the president to go all the way to Denmark. I mean, what president goes to another country to sell another nation? And
we always heard the author of Amateur talk about that on Fox News.
And the reason why that's important is because she had a career in Chicago, which brings billions of dollars into Chicago.
Right.
And it happened. So the president doesn't look good when your president goes to make a pitch in person and then now.
So she had enough power to send the president over to Copenhagen.
Right.
Was it Copenhagen?
Right, Denmark.
Denmark, okay. Mm-hmm.
And it didn't happen.
Because it seemed kind of strange then at the time. Why would such a man of power show up for the Olympics at a time like this? Mm-hmm. And you would think, you know, paying off the select ones who selected you.
Yep.
But we're finding out, according to this article, that it was Valerie.
Yep.
Wow.
Solyndra was a power company, energy company. It's being reported that she was the one that influenced, you know, the president to make those decisions, and now that company's went completely bankrupt, and it's about, you know, energy, green
solar power,
all that. It went bankrupt, and the government invested hundreds of millions in that company. With it's reported that the press secretary at that time, Robert Gibbs, who it's reported that allegedly Valerie told Robert that the president's wife did not like some of the things that he was saying, and Robert Gibbs went off basically on, you know, on
Valerie. Some pretty disrespectful things.
Very disrespectful things. And guess what? She's credited with him no longer being the press secretary, and that's why you see Jay Carney now. And Robert Gibbs, who was instrumental to the president during the campaign, he was the voice, the communicator. That's what the press secretary does. Mm-hmm. He's out of the picture. It's reported that when the Affordable Health Care was being put together, that the contraceptive mandate was Valerie's idea. Well, the chief of staff at the time, which was Daley, he was advising the president, you don't want to go this route. You want to force religious organizations to do this. This is not a good idea. In fact, it's reported that he brought Cardinal Dolan from New York to speak to the president. Uh-huh. And it's reported that when Valerie found out, that was put an end to that. That never happened. And so now that's a really big, big issue. And then many are wondering today with Kathleen Sebelius, who is the head of the Health and Human Services, she's a secretary, why has she not been let go? This has been a huge embarrassment for the president. It's just not working. Over now, 5 million people have lost their health care. They've not been able to register for these benefits. Mm-hmm. Why has she not been fired or let go? And it's reported that Kathleen Sebelius is very good friends with Valerie Jarrett.
Well, she's also real good friends with Michelle Obama.
They
actually talk about this, and hopefully this will be available for them. They come home every night together and relax and have popcorn, eat together.
Wow.
And that's where they were having a dinner when she was recruiting her, Michelle, mm-hmm. into the private sector.
So this is a series of events.
These are a whole bunch of friends. That's why, you know, friends don't fire friends.
Mm.
Friends don't fire friends. But this is not a place for just, you know, you can be friends outside of that. I mean, what is the goal? What is the driving force behind this? And is our president leading mm-hmm. in the context? I know there's also in April the 3rd, 2013, on C-SPAN that Valerie Jarrett did a segment on women in politics. And so you're talking about a lot of women in politics in the context of what's taking place right there. I didn't realize she was in politics. I thought she was an advisor to a politician, but maybe she's actually in, you know, politics here.
Well, they're saying that she's basically the chief of staff. They don't know what her title is. Mm-hmm. Like we said earlier, she commands a staff of, I believe, of about three dozen. At one time, David Axelrod, who was an advisor to the president, it was reported that someone was trying to basically attack him, a plan to do, you know, to hurt him. And so he was issued Secret Service detail. But immediately, it's reported that Valerie Jarrett had to have Secret Service detail, which is unprecedented for someone, you know, outside of the president, really, or family, to have Secret Service detail. And so this just goes on and on and on and on. But the Jarrett file, it's comprised of several articles and pieces for everyone from the New York Times to Bob Woodard, Double Down, a political writer, Mike Allen. It just goes on and on about all these different sources that are saying pretty much the very same thing.
Well, she's saying right here in the C-SPAN interview on April the 3rd, 2013, it's entitled Valerie Jarrett on Women in Politics, and we'll make it available to you on the VFN Torch, is she talks about her role with the Obama administration, gun control, immigration, and criticism of the president, and that there's not enough women in the cabinet there, but gun control and all that. She even talks more about the aspect of it. It's like, wow.
Yeah.
And the thing is that if in fact you feel anybody, I can imagine what you feel like. I can't even imagine, but you can imagine how if you really weren't prepared for the presidency, and that's a huge preparation, And the process normally prepares you. You have to, you know, you should run a business or something.
Right.
You know, you should do a, have a payroll. You should hack your way through stuff. And what they did was, it looks like they just protected the one they selected through the whole process, that, but didn't allow him to have these experiences that give him to know that, hey, you can't, you're the one, you have to lead. And and so then you start leaning. If you don't know, then you start leaning on those that you believe do know. And then we find out, hey, you know, as Cy would say, hey.
Hey. Listen here.
Listen here. He might not be running this thing. And so that means that we know how to pray for him. And first I want to say this.
Definitely.
I want to say this. You know, pray for Valerie, you know, for whatever she had, you know, has aspirations, you know, what she wanted, you know, vision for our country. And when she selected Michelle, then selected Barack, and went through these processes, she says publicly on the stage that she selected
Van Jones.
Van Jones. Yes. She says she'd been watching Van Jones for quite some time. And so, I mean, you do need somebody on your cabinet that you trust that has your heart to be able to do that. But understand, but are you leading this thing? Mm-hmm. So begin to pray for Valerie. This is this as a church. Let's just pray for her. Pray that God would bless her. Pray that God would direct her. You know, pray that he would speak to her in her sleep, and that she would give good godly counsel to our president, and that our president would hear the voice of the Lord himself.
Yes.
And anything that he would hear would bear witness with what God is saying for the nation of America, what God is saying for Israel. Dear God, end abortion, send revival, save our president.
We want to give a special thanks to all of our sponsors and partners. Visit them today at VFNTV.com. We have all their contact information for you, phone numbers, web addresses, even a map. Visit VFNTV.com. We want to ask you to partner. Listen, you're giving, your contributions. We're doing this together. We're taking the gospel all around the world. Every bit counts. Let's partner and do it together. VFNTV.com.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
I'll never forget, I read this book once, and the author asked this question. I don't remember much about the entire book. I was in college at the time, and he says, in the book, if there, you know, what is one thing that if you started doing every single day for the rest of your life, what's the one thing that will change your life? And that one sentence just exploded with inside of me. I go, whoa, I was in my 20s. That's powerful. That's deep. And I go, what's the one thing that if I just started doing every single day would change my life? I got thinking, thinking, thinking. I said, I wasn't a Christian at the time. I said, I bet if I read my Bible every day, I bet you that would change my life. And that was the beginning.
Wow. Mm.
That was the beginning. One little step. Let me tell you something. We have a simple plan for you. You can get that at iabide.org. It's free. Doesn't cost you a thing. And you will learn how to hear God's voice, connect with God, and write down what he's telling you and have a relationship with the Lord. I'm telling you, if you allow God's word to get on the inside of you, it'll change your life because he is the word.
The VFN Torch takes VFN Radio to the next level. Listen, you can't show pictures and you can't play videos when you're listening to the radio, but we have it available for you. Take it to the next level, linking resources. As a matter of fact, when you hear about one particular article or segment that's going on at VFN Radio, there might be four or five other segments that we did over that quarter or several months that you can tie together. Why? It's available for you. It's called the VFN Torch, just like the torch that Gideon carried, the VFN Torch. Go to VFNTV.com and click on VFN Torch.
Welcome to the Daily VFN Radio Program, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T Light with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Well, welcome. I'm Greg Lancaster. You're listening and watching VFN Radio on VFN TV and the Christian Television Network around the nation and the world. Big shout out to our audience in the Middle East and up in Washington State. I know you guys are chilly today, and I know that cold breeze is blowing across the USA today. And it's ending up in the northeastern part of the United States, which was already cold already. But we just want to pray a protective, warm protective blanket over you. And crank up the heat, lower the power and the gas bill, and keep them safe in this storm. Thanksgiving, being thankful. I mean, think about it. Thanksgiving is something that, you know, we talk about in America, sad to say, once a year, officially. But the truth is, as Christians, that we're not even supposed to enter God's presence without thanksgiving.
That's right.
You enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. How many people just show up and just say, give me, I need, want, help?
So important.
Yeah.
You're right, to enter God's presence with thanksgiving. I mean, if you don't think about the Lord and you're not appreciative for what he's done, how can you really begin to worship him and have a heart that's really after God?
Right.
If we're not even giving thanks for what we do have, right?
Exactly.
And it is important, you know, to have this pinnacle moment in the year to be thankful, but that should set the agenda for the rest of our year to be, we can kind of check ourselves once a year going, have I been grateful every day? Have I been grateful every week? Have I been grateful? Do I show up talking to God? Thank you for blessing me. Thank you for keeping me. Thank you for providing for me. Thank you. I mean, think about this. You know, in America, the poorest person in America is richer than 80% of 7 billion folks on the face of the globe. That alone should start off with, you know, thank you, Lord, for your blessing that's been on this nation. Thank you that we can have an exchange of power without any kind of bloodshed. The fact that when political offices change historically in America, that it's a peaceful transition of power. And that's a big thing because many forms of government, it changes because it's violent, you know. In regards to being able to just celebrate the constitutional rights that we have and the Bill of Civil Rights that each of us have that for being in America, being a citizen of America. We have so much to be thankful for.
Yeah.
And those that have made Jesus Christ the Lord of their life, listen, you have eternity to be thankful for. You have forgiveness and mercy and grace. And there's just so much. But how many, I mean, you can move people's heart. If you live a life of gratitude, if you live a life of just amazement and not get familiar with the things, you know, this is always on my mind, these type of things. But the very fact that people take on the occupation of removing the trash and the garbage from the homes of Americans, and they say, this is going to be my career. I want to do this. And I want to keep this place sanitary. I want to keep it clean, and I want to be a part of that. And so you just carry a can out to the street with where stuff piled up in your house or your life, your home, and you put it inside this can, and then he or she will drive by that morning, and they'll pick it up, and they'll put it in their truck, and they'll take it to a landfill or ever how they take it, and to be able to help you stay sanitary. You might not know this or not, because we've been blessed for so long, that some of the history in America where unions have gone on strike, and one of them was in the 70s, I believe, that the sanitation department went on strike. In New York, and all of a sudden there was just trash piled everywhere, and there was rats and rodents and the things that these guys, these men and women are doing for us. They're keeping us healthy. They're keeping us sanitary. They are showing up, you know, once a week or twice a week or whatever they show up, and they take these things as discarded things, packages and stuff and whatever, and they bring it to a place that they've really thought out really well. So that if it leaks or that type of thing, they've lined it with different kinds of material. They have vented things for gases that come off of that trash, and they dispose of it in a very sanitary way so that you are not poisoned.
Yeah.
And one example of that is a privately owned junkyard, I guess you would say, or a dump, that's what it was called. They didn't take care of it. They didn't do it right.
Uh-huh.
And they just abandoned it when it's done. Well, all these paints and stuff was polluted. The waters, when it would rain, it would run into the neighborhoods, and it was just toxic. Uh-huh. And so those governmental leaders had to begin to raise money and a tax base to be able to fix what that businessman did not fix so that people would not get sick and cancer and die.
Uh-huh.
And they did that. They put that together, and they took care of that. And it was an amazing thing. I mean, we have so much to be grateful for. I mean, life would be so different without having these many blessings around us. But just for the fact, understand, you don't realize how much garbage, for example, that we create, and we could talk about it for days. There's stats on it. But we have the most garbage probably than anybody in the world. But just for that alone, understand that when they didn't remove that from the city, what came was rodents and rats and sickness and disease and these different things that you would catch. And they were making a point that they were significant. What we're doing is significant. Yeah. And they realized at some point when you couldn't see the sidewalks anymore, it was just piling and piling and piling, and people couldn't have it in their houses. And so you're used to taking it out of your house and putting it in a can, but you need to be thankful. I mean, all the way to the person, the man or the woman who says, I want to make sure that you stay healthy in your community. I want to be able to remove the trash from your neighborhood, from your home every single time you put it on the street.
Wow.
And I will do that for you. I will keep you healthy. When you think about your mailman that's bringing mail to you every single day, rain, sleet, or snow, except for maybe Sunday, they're bringing the mail to you. I mean, they don't have to do it. They could do anything. But they're making sure that you can get that letter, that you can get that information, that you can get these things that you need, which we call bills, but the reality is it's an exchange for services, that you're getting power, electrical, whatever, and that they're bringing that to you so you can maintain power in your house and that you can maintain water and that type of thing. I mean, being thankful. I mean, you're being thankful in regards to understanding that the ones that keep your water in your community, a lot of people go, yeah, we have an elected board over that. Yeah, we appreciate those guys, and they're the ones that keep our, what we want over that particular aspect of government going well. But the one who's actually in the sewer pipe, the one who's actually changing out the water lines, have you stopped by and just said, thank you? Thank you for the clean water that comes into our house. Thank you for making sure that the sewage, which is even more toxic than the trash, doesn't back up into the homes and the houses and that type of thing. And because that can be really major.
Yeah, very major.
Very major.
Very costly.
But these things happen every day.
Mm-hmm.
And that you, just to be grateful for being thankful. This is about Thanksgiving, right?
Mm-hmm.
God, thank you, God, for the ones who check to make sure our waters don't have things in it that would cause us to be sick, down to the millionth particle or whatever it is. Or you think about the doctors and the nurses, that if you got sick this one moment, despite the arguments that are going on, the truth is, if you get sick, somebody's going to take care of you. They'll come and they'll check your temperature. They'll check your blood pressure. They'll ask you questions about your health history. They'll begin to try to diagnose what's wrong with you, and they'll try to ease your pain. And that's a beautiful thing. Mm-hmm. So much to be thankful for. Or the police or the sheriff's department in your community that are patrolling your streets and keeping you safe. And yeah, you might have crime happening in your streets, but understand this, without them, there'd be a lot more crime.
No, that's all right.
I mean, I could go on for days. We have so much to be thankful for. So much to be thankful for. And here we are. It's Thanksgiving. And I want to challenge you today that when you sit around the table to be thankful, pause for a moment and tell everybody you're going to do this first. Some people can't handle being broadsided with a sudden request of information. Won't bring Pat up with the situation. I need time to think about this, right?
Yeah, right.
I'm drawing a blank. No, because he's very detailed. He wants to think about it in a detailed way. We're not detailed. Mm-mm. We can just talk.
Fly by the seat of your pants.
Right. But meaningfully.
Yes.
And so.
With a purpose.
And with that, today when we sit around this table, we're going to take and tell what we're thankful for. We're not going to be cheesy. We're going to really think about, how does life happen? What is God allowing to take place in my life? What is taking place? And for children, I mean, think about this, children, that your parents are allowing you to live there. They're working and bringing food and putting it into the pantry. And you can just go and glean from the pantry and glean from the refrigerator. And that's because God's blessing your home. He's blessing the fruit of the labor of your parents. And so to be thankful, don't think like, oh, you know, I'm thankful for this meal. Think about the whole week or the whole month or the whole year. Your parents said, I want you here. You know, I want you to eat. Whatever you want, go in there, fix you something to eat. That's just the love of a parent, you know. You have your own bed or your own room or something of that nature. Just all these different things to be thankful for. And spouses. I mean, think about your husband or your wife and thinking, you know, all year long they put up with you, you know. And you had your ups and downs. Years are like long times in relationships. Mm-hmm. And you can focus on the things that you could say that keep you from being grateful, or you can focus on the many things that you can be grateful for. And this is what the Lord says. He says, and you can look that scripture up as we're talking, is that, you know, this is what I want you to think about. Mm-hmm. You know, whatever's good, whatever's love is good report. So in your relationship, think about, you know, what you can say, what you're grateful about your relationships with your spouse, with your wife or your husband, about your job. I mean, think about it. They could have hired anybody. I know you're brilliant now that you worked there a while. But the truth was, it was a day that you interviewed for that job, mm-hmm. and you were one amongst others that were going to be hired. And one day they chose you. And they chose you. That's to be grateful for that. Mm-hmm. And now to understand, you know, I'm grateful for my job. I'm grateful for being able to work here. You know what I'm saying?
Absolutely.
I mean, just think about being thankful and understand God is, this is when he talks about in Romans chapter 1, he says, they failed to be grateful.
Mm-hmm.
They failed to have gratitude. They were not thankful to God. They weren't even thankful. They began to take credit for what God was doing in their life. And so God turns over a nation. So we can check ourselves this Thanksgiving about saying, you know what? I want to be grateful. I want to be a grateful person. And when God will start giving you a heart, you'll see a garbage man pull up or a woman pull up to your house, and your heart will just pour out for that person, understanding, I am so thankful for them.
Yeah, right.
I am so thankful for them. How can I get to them? And understand, right after Thanksgiving comes a time we celebrate the gift that came to us called Jesus Christ, the Son of God. And that's what the gifts are about. That I'm going to start giving gifts to folks that I'm thankful for. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? I'm going to I'm going to give a card, a gift, you know, something. These folks that are helping my life go better, and this is a blessing to me, I want to acknowledge them. I'm going to say thank you at Thanksgiving, and maybe I'm going to make sure they get a card, me explaining how much they mean to me around Christmas, right? And we have a little bit more to talk about this. We come right back.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
Here we are. Yes, VFN TV, the daily radio program, a network that God is building through your gifts. Amazing thing, because it can't be built by human hands. Things that God does cannot be built by human hands. So make sure that you join in and just offer up at VFNTV.com and sponsor and become an underwriter today. Listen, we are shining the light, keeping the conversation light on all who want to be in the light, who listen, our audience. That's right, VFNTV and the Daily Radio Program, a network that God is building through your love gift. Sponsor today, partner today, become an underwriter. Go to VFNTV.com and follow the prompts.
You know, Steve, I was over the weekend, Father's Day weekend, in fact, you know, or should I say Sunday, I received this text of a video.
Mm-hmm.
Now I'm minding my own business. You know, I like just to mind my own business and look after my own dogs. But why? Why did I receive a text message from someone on this radio program, not me or you right now?
Oh, okay.
That would be Pat, but I'm not mentioning any names.
Say the names, okay.
But he sent me this video of his two dogs, okay? Yeah. I got to admit.
They don't love your dogs.
Hey, man, dogs are cool. Dogs are cool. You should get one. You should get one.
Okay.
He sent me this video, right. And these dogs, I got to admit, Chris, it's actually kind of cute. Mm-hmm. They're going back mm-hmm. and forth. Do we have that video? Do we? What were they doing? Talk to us here. Were you? I think he spent hours training them to do this.
They're playing with the ball.
They're playing with. They got this. How big is Holly? Holly is a lad.
She is almost 80 pounds.
80 pounds. And how big is Samson?
I think maybe 8.
He may be 10 soaking wet.
Oxymoron here. Samson is a little, and Holly's huge.
Right.
But they're going back and forth, and.
But you notice Holly's on her back. Yeah. She's being gentle.
Very gentle. Samson's the more aggressive. But it's just so cute. They're just going back and forth playing with each other. And it's like, oh my goodness, this is so cute. How long do they do this?
Oh, this will go on for hours.
Oh my gosh.
I mean, they do this all day.
Really?
Oh yeah, until Holly gets tired of him. Just like, swats him like a bug. Get away from me.
That is so cute. It just, this goes, I mean, this was, and he wanted me to watch the duration of this 30-minute video. I said,
thanks. I only sent you about a minute of it.
It seemed like it was an eternity.
This one's about 3-minute version.
Oh, okay.
And I had to turn it off.
Oh, my goodness. Well, we're going to put this available. We know that Pat has a lot of time, but we're going to put this available for you on the torch so you can see. But Holly and Samson, they're playing and getting on, but it's so cute when you see these two dogs are complete opposite, you know, size, and they're just playing so nicely. Is like, oh my goodness, some adults can learn from this video. Play nicely.
Right.
They're playing nicely. Oh my goodness. Oh my. Holly and the dogs.
You're listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's LIGHT, light. With your host, Greg Lancaster.
I'm Greg Lancaster. Joining me today is Pat and John. You know, we have so much to be thankful for. We just want to kind of think about the dimensions of what we had to be thankful for. You know, as Christians, we're so grateful to God and to Jesus for dying for our sins that we spend the rest of our life in gratitude by saying, what can I do for you? You did this. What can I do? I have such a limited amount of life left in this vapor to spend eternity with you. I want to serve you. I want to spend my life. I want my life to be Thanksgiving. I want my life to be a thank you. Because Thanksgiving is a great time for us to check ourselves. You know, the world will say, I'm thankful once a year. As Christians, we would say, I need to check myself. How come, have I been thankful? Have I been grateful? Have I acknowledged God, you know, in my life? And we're talking about different aspects of that. And one is you know, thanking God for the Bible, for the Word of God.
Yeah.
Imagine not having the Word. There was the Dark Ages that we talk about when the Word was held captive and they wouldn't, and people began to project their own scriptures out over the land. And amazingly, it had to do against the Jews, the Dark Ages. They began to persecute. Once he pulled the Word away from mankind and the church, they began to listen to the leaders of, quote, the church of that day. And they, the Crusaders came about. But when the Word got loosed again, you know, through those who were willing to, Wycliffe and the others who wrote
Tyndale.
Know, Tyndale House, or Tyndale, you know, Tyndale House is named after, and that they realized, hey, wait a minute, these guys are wrong. They were wrong in what they were saying, that Israel is the apple of God's eye. Jerusalem's the apple of God's eye, and the Jews are, and that they're our brothers. We both serve the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And when the Word was, it helped us not make stupid decisions, and helps us understand why we stand with Israel today. That helps us understand, you know, why Christians United for Israel, KUFI.org, we talk about, you can get to it at VFNTV.com, that we're thankful for KUFI.
Yes.
We're thankful for John Hagee that says, you know, we're going to stand up in America for Israel. We're thankful for the congressmen and congresswomen and the senators, the representatives and the senators who stand up and say, you know, we're going to stand up for Israel. And that's something to be grateful for and to be thankful for. And another thing to be thankful for is understanding that that God's not going to let anything happen to Israel.
That's right.
That you can thank him in advance that they're going to succeed. and thank him for the salvation of the Jews, because God is going to save those who call upon him.
That's right.
And it's just so many different things to be thankful for on this day. But, you know, what do you think about? You know, whatever you think about, ever how a man thinks he is in his heart, so is he. And the thing about it is, if gratitude doesn't come out of our mouth, if thankfulness doesn't come out of our mouths, then the truth is we have worry and fear and anxiety and doubt and dread in our hearts. And the Word of God says, there they were with all that dread, with nothing to dread at all. Mm-hmm. I mean, you think about it. I mean, what, 70% is reportedly with that in America that were either overweight or obese. 70%, which means we're eating well.
Mm-hmm.
So we have plenty of food right now. Mm-hmm. And that's something to be grateful about in the context of that. And then we have millions of people who couldn't afford, I don't know, it's 33 million or something, they couldn't afford money for food. So we actually have a program that we give financially, all the taxpayers give finances so that we can help them with their food, in addition to all the food pantries and all the things the churches are doing. Also, citizens are making it available through what's called the SNAP program, where people can take this card, the money that Americans gave them, so they could go and buy groceries all month long for their family. It's a beautiful, I mean, mm-hmm. What a country.
Yeah.
What a country.
Blessed.
And it makes me think about this, because ever how a man thinks he is, so is he. What does God's word tell us that we're supposed to think about on this Thanksgiving? What?
Philippians 4:8 says, finally, brothers and sisters, whatever's true, whatever's noble, whatever's right, whatever's pure, whatever's lovely, whatever's admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things.
And wow.
Yeah, isn't that powerful?
That I mean, is
there's,
so
there's,
true.
There's so much to that, because your mind can be focusing in the wrong direction. And oftentimes, if you're not careful, you're going to be focusing on what you don't have instead of focusing your mind and your attention on what you do have. Mm-hmm. And what God has indeed blessed you. And you were talking about all the things that we're thankful for. I was reminded of one of the things we discussed on VFN radio, where when the soldiers reached the concentration camps, how one of the women that were held captive there, when he just gave her a nice glance and a little piece of chocolate.
Yes, a kind look and a piece of chocolate.
She was just, I mean, just so grateful for that. Then mm-hmm. she took a little bite and wrapped the rest and put it in her pocket. To cherish that.
If we're not grateful, God has a way to motivate us,
yes,
you know, to be grateful. And that would be that. I'm saying that was that situation, but that's what happened with even a kind look. And how many kind looks do we just brush off?
Mm-hmm.
Or how many folks just like, can you spare a kind look?
Right.
You know, you know,
can I buy a kind look?
You only
can
have four of them.
Look?
Have you? Did you use them up in January? But in Romans chapter mm-hmm. chapter 1, this is what he says in Romans chapter 1 verse 21. He says, for though they knew God, they neither glorified him as God nor gave thanks to him, but their thinking, and that's what you're talking about, think on these things, but their thinking became futile and their hearts, their foolish hearts, were darkened.
Mm.
So when you start having, and it's like, you know, are you grateful for anything?
Yeah.
And when you're grateful and you start thinking about these things, it opens a floodgate, because the more you're really, truly grateful and thankful to God. I mean, think about it in the natural sense. When you go out and you get somebody something, say you get your kid a car, you get your wife a dress, or you know, whatever, or you know, somebody gets you something, and you're just so grateful for that. You're mm-hmm. thankful for it.
Mm-hmm.
That the person that sees your gratitude, if it's legitimate, they're like, wow, that felt really good, mm-hmm. given that gift. And that parent wants to give that child something else. And this is what the Word of God says. You being evil, know how to do this thing. Mm-hmm. You being evil, know how this thing functions. You being evil, know how to give good gifts. How much does your Heavenly Father know how to give? Think about that. He knows how to give, because he gives all. He just wants to be acknowledged, and we have so much to be grateful for. Maybe if we'll begin to reboot our gratitude this Thanksgiving and say, you know what? I'm going to practice every day in my journal, because I'm an abider, right? I abide with God. And if you don't, I encourage you to begin to abide with him, because he will empower you to be grateful. He will remind you about these things. To add one line to your daily abiding, you know, gratitude. Mm-hmm. You know, we talk about the word, we talk about the where, we talk about the what. But just add one more word, gratitude. What mm-hmm. am I grateful for today?
So powerful, isn't it?
Yeah, what am I grateful for today? And it's sometimes, you know, the enemy does serious attacks on us where we have to really hunt and peck because he's trying to overwhelm us, trying to create something called dread inside of us. But if we'll push through that and say, wait a minute, and all of a sudden we just find one glimpse of light of gratitude, it's just like all these clouds burst forth and the sun barrels down. It's like all that thing was a lie.
That's right.
There I was with all that dread, with nothing to dread at all. So I encourage you, you know, add to just this challenge in the next 12 months from this Thanksgiving to the next Thanksgiving to add one more word. You got your word, you got your where, and you got your what. And if you don't know what that means, go to iabide.org and request your free abiding plan today. It'll come right to you. But add another word, add gratitude, the word gratitude, and just think, what am I grateful for today? And you'll be really surprised at the end of the year. You may have 365 things that you are grateful for that year. Well, I just do want to wish everybody a happy and blessed Thanksgiving. We want to thank God. Lord God, we're grateful for what you've done in our lives and for mercy and for grace. And we ask you, Lord, touch your church with a heart of gratitude that we will be grateful all year long.
We want to give a special thanks to all of our sponsors and partners. Visit them today at VFNTV.com. We have all their contact information for you, phone numbers, web addresses, even maps. Visit VFNTV.com and become a sponsor or a partner. Listen, do it today. It's your partnership, your giving financially that is helping us take the gospel all around the world. Let's partner and do it together. VFNTV.com. Become a partner today.
You've been listening to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we're so glad that you joined us. Don't forget you can catch us at VFNTV.com on your mobile applications. You can download it at VFNTV.com. Go to your Apple apps, your Android apps, and all those wonderful apps. We enjoyed our time together. And don't forget, 24/7 on VFN Radio. God bless.